Right, okay. The very mention of the name of the Lord evokes many, many emotions in people. But what I am really amazed is how God can take one life and change a world, a nation, and a people forever. One, just needed one, our Lord. When we see the Lord, what do we see? We see the very presence of God, don't we? We see love. We see joy. We see peace. And we see righteousness. Because our God is a God of peace. And his Son, our Lord, is called the Prince of Peace. God is good, and he's good all of the time. This is why we are here. We are here to see for ourselves what God has done and will do. That's why we're here. We are in the present right now, moment by moment, living out this wonderful and great salvation that we have in the Lord. That's why he came, to give us this, so that we could learn what it is to live moment by moment in the presence of God. Because that's what he did, right? He emptied himself of everything. He left his equality with God. He came to earth to live in the form of a man to show us this one thing, that God meant for us to host his presence in our being. This is why Jesus died for us, to set us free from the sinful man and bring us in to the life of the spiritual man. God is advancing his Joshua generation. That's the word he gave me. This word came to me after he had woken me for 5 straight nights in a row back in June, saying, "Make peace with God." 2 days later, he said, "I am advancing my Joshua generation into the kingdom." Now Joshua entered into the promised land, whereas the children of Egypt did not. Joshua did not think like a slave. He was going in. God had anointed him, saying, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I have promised." Joshua was full of faith. Not in his own abilities, but he had met the commander-in-chief, the one who is Jesus, who appeared to him. And when Jesus appeared to Joshua, Joshua didn't recognize him at first. Joshua said, "Are you for us or our enemies?" The answer the Lord gave him was neither. You see, Jesus isn't for us or our enemies. He's for himself. His purpose is always good. God is always on the side of God and what he wants and what he's going to do. Okay, we worship a God of peace who gave us our Prince of Peace. They've made peace together, and they've made peace with the world. They aren't here to punish us, but to give us everything that has been promised to us by our God. So what we need to do is set our sights higher. Stop thinking like a slave. Start thinking like a son. God said, step into the Jordan, take your salvation, and then go. But he says, you're not going into the land without me, because I've gone before you already. He's the one giving the land. He's the one who's already given us peace and rest in that land. He's already done it. We just have to go in and take it, what he's given. Now, I'm going to do a lot of reading here for a second, but I think we need to, because I want you to see what this promised land looks like. So please open your Bibles to Zechariah 8, starting with verse 1. The word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I'm very jealous for Zion. I'm burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with their cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me? Declares the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said, who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Before that time, there were no wages for the people or hire for animals. No one could go about their business safely because of their enemies, since I had turned everyone against their neighbor. But now, I will deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord. The seed will grow well. The vine will yield its fruit. The ground will produce its crops, and the heavens will drop their dew. I will give all these things as an inheritance to the remnant of this people. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, so I will save you, and you will be a blessing. Do not be afraid. Let your hands be strong. Hands are for blessing. Hands are for building. Hands are for impartation. Hands are for carrying a sword. The very presence of God in your heart and in your mind and living in you. And when God himself prepares you for what he has promised, and he says, go in and take the promised land, you have two choices. You can raise your hand and say, oh, I give up. I surrender. I just can't do this thing. Or you can raise your hand and you can take the sword of the living God, who is God himself, his very presence. And you can take him and you can allow him to lead you right in, right where he wants to take you. God made the heavens and the earth with his fingers. With his fingers, he did this. Do we know who we serve? Even a wee little bit of faith can move mountains. What mountains are you facing in your life right now? What is holding you back from pressing into the Lord and laying claim on what he's given you? What? Sometimes I think what holds us back is the fear of man. What is someone going to think of us if we actually step out in faith? We are not here to serve man. We are not here to listen to what man has to say. We're here to hear what God has said. We're here, what did he say? To see for yourself what God has done and will do. Our Father is going to shake the heavens and the earth until everything that is not of him falls to the ground and dies. What is not made of God does not live forever. What is made of God lives forever. He's going to shake us until we lose every bit of self-confidence in our own abilities. Why? Well, look at what Jesus did. He emptied himself. He had no confidence in himself. He knew what God could do. He woke up every morning to rise and meet and greet the Lord, to let the Lord minister to him. That's why he could do the impossible. Open your Bibles, please, to John 14, starting with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Verse 28. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Now, what is the Lord saying here? He had other work now that he was going to concentrate on, meaning he had to set his mind and heart on going to the cross. Why? So that the world would learn that he loves the Father and that he loves us, because he would have to give his life for us. He was determined to fulfill God's purpose. He was going to be offered as a sacrificial lamb for us. Jesus did not want his disciples to be sad for him. He said, if you really love me, be glad, because I am going to my Father. Anyone who knows and understands how this can be so true, because if you've ever had a real meeting with the Lord, you know that in that place, there's perfect love, there's peace, there's joy. Now, as children of God, we cannot turn away from God when God allows human beings, principalities, and powers to come against us. God is still, allowing trials and tribulations to come against us so that we'll do what Jesus did and look to God for what God has done and will do. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look into his wonderful face. Then you have peace. The enemy has no hold on you. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself. And Satan brings fear to cause you to doubt what God has said about you. That fear causes you to want to look inward. Don't look inward. Look up. Okay. Jesus believed what God had done and would do and what God said about him. But Satan came against him to cause doubt and fear in what God had told him who he was. Remember when the devil tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness by saying, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread? We see that Jesus went in and he knew who he was because God had revealed to him who he was. And so all he needed was God fighting that doubt and fear because he believed God's word. He believed what God had said about him. That's why the enemy had no hold on him. Okay. Let God speak to you. And when he does, let his word work in you what he wants it to work in you. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. I remember what my life was like before I met the Lord. It wasn't all that great. Whatever I had going on just wasn't that great. Margie knows because she knew me before. Okay. Every time I turn my life over to the Lord, he builds character. And every time I see him, I have more hope. Why are we here? Why am I here? I ask God that question. His answer was, to see for yourself what I have done and what I will do. What are some of the other giants we face? Well, we talked about the fear of man. We don't serve two masters. We can only choose one, man or God. Okay. How about the voices that come? I can tell you some of the ones that hit me. Who do you think you are? What are you doing up there bringing a word? Who's going to listen to you? You're small in my sight. Who is this God you serve? He can't do anything. You're foolish. Foolish to believe in what God has said. Okay, what do we do in a situation when these giants come. Fight like a boy. If a 12-year-old boy named David can take his little slingshot, his wee little bit of faith, and put a rock in it, our Lord, and aim it right between Goliath's eyes and slay that guy, that enemy, that voice, that fear, dead, and then cut his head off. If a 12-year-old boy can do that, we better learn how to fight like a boy. Neither David or Joshua put any confidence in their flesh. God had prepared them beforehand. This is why being alone with God out in the fields, in your house, in your closet, I don't care. Just find a place to get alone with him, because before God takes you into battle, you have to step into the Jordan. You have to take your salvation. You have to let the Lord, come to you, speak to you, and let his word cleanse you, and let his word, work in you what he wants to work in you. So get alone with the Lord. Meditate on him. Worship him. Come to him with thanksgiving. And he will strengthen you and empower you, because he does have some things that he's still doing right here in the earth that you're to be a part of. Okay, the name Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. What do we know about Joshua? He heard the voice of the Lord and followed him. First, Joshua makes peace with God by stepping into the Jordan, taking his salvation. He accepts the life that God has given him. He has made peace with God, and he has obeyed God. Now God says, go in. God was careful to remind Joshua of this truth, that giants are not fought on our own strength. Jesus, the living word of God, carrying the presence of God, is our peacemaker who carries a sword. He's already gone in. He's already fought for us. Stay in him, and you will overcome everything that comes against your life. Remember, it only comes to build character, to make you strong and courageous. Okay, Joshua 5, starting with verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither, but as commander of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And Joshua did so. So how do we apply this word now to our own life? Hebrews 4. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of your soul from your spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When God comes to you and speaks to you, his word will lay open your heart bare and will begin to deal with your own thoughts and your own attitudes. Why? So that he can come and give you his thoughts and his mind. How are you going to carry the presence of the Lord and be a light shining in a dark place where people need so much the presence of God if you don't let God's word come and cleanse you and wash you and deal with your own heart and attitude so that nothing of you stands in the way of what he wants to do in you? That's why you're here, to see what he has done and will do. Okay, now I want to share a prophetic word that the Lord gave me in June. Please pay attention to this, because this word is really for us to hear, because this is God saying, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I am doing. He is opening doors for each to see themselves as Christ sees them. He has brought you here now on earth to see him and what he is doing. The kingdom of God is in you. The Lord is bringing a greater awareness to his body, an open door to see how much he loves his body, each one, as he has joined them together in his body, each one as it has pleased him to express himself in his body. Do not look to one another, to the parts, as to what part you might compare yourself to. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Dwell in unity and love, and in so doing, you will please the Lord. Look to the Lord, who desires that you know him and his great love for you. And as you begin to see his great love for you, then you're going to know his truth about you. And that truth is going to set you free. That's how you walk free. Okay. Still got some time here. All right. So the Lord comes. He meets you. He reveals himself to you. Then he gives you a command. And as he shows you who you are in him, you are not to take that blessing and keep it for yourself, because it dies there if you keep it for yourself. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who curse, who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. There are no stars in the kingdom of God, but one. What do we have to be conceited about? Every good thing, even our very life, comes from God. We did not make him. We cannot take credit or glory, take glory for ourselves over something God has done. Have you ever watched someone do that? That they take credit for something they didn't even do? Oh, yikes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Oops, forgot to mention here about this thing of being conceited. Sorry. How does God feel about it? Psalms 4:2. Oh, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? When we make stars, we make idols. Okay, we make gods out of people and things and stuff. God says those people are delusional. Okay. I have a t-shirt. I didn't bring it. Well, I did bring it. I didn't wear it because I didn't want to shock you too much, but now I'm thinking maybe, you know, I should have. But it says on it, it's white letters on black, and it says, "Look at me, how important I am." Now you see, you laugh, because that's really pretty ridiculous, isn't it? That's how God feels. He laughs. He laughs. Okay, I'm going to end this now by trying to summarize what the Lord had said to me. I hope I conveyed it. I don't know. He said, make peace with God. I am advancing my Joshua generation into the kingdom. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my aide, he is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Joshua would encourage the people always with what God had said. He encouraged them, don't be shy, don't be timid, don't be afraid, be strong and of good courage. He could do this because God had strengthened him. Because Joshua, unlike the slaves, didn't have a slave mentality. He went before the Lord, okay? He knew the voice of God. He knew his presence. Make peace with God. He's advancing you. Are you a part of the Joshua generation? Yes. Can you say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. We are peacemakers that carry swords. We are peacemakers that take the very presence of God wherever we go. Whether it's your home, your neighborhood, your nation, your workplace, when you gather with the saints.
carry the presence of the Lord, because blessed are the peacemakers, because they are called the children of God.
I think Deborah expressed very well the burden the Lord put on her heart, and I know it's in our hearts now. So, Father, we take the word with us. Again, we have no confidence in our flesh because we're learning to be confident in what you have spoken and your grace that is living within us. Thank you for your word this morning. Amen.